Autumn looked back at me again, seething.
You disgust me. I can't believe you. 4 days. 4 fucking days. That's all it took for you to fuck another whore. Jesus Christ, Creed. Making up for lost time, you had to fuck 2 of them at once?
She didn't pay them any mind as they ran past her and out the room. The door slammed behind him. Autumn's sole focus was a fucked up man in front of her. Me. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. Fuck, I barely knew how I was feeling. The drugs and booze had finally taken over. I just knelt there on the bed, looking into her eyes, fucking dumbfounded, trying to shake away the fog. I rubbed my eyes, my brain fighting with my mouth to say something. Anything. I got off the bed instead, tearing off the condom and threw it away, looking around the room for my jeans, rubbing the back of my head, disoriented and confused as fuck. Suddenly stumbling when Autumn chucked them at me, shaking her head in pure, utter disbelief. I slipped them on, trying like hell to stay upright, failing miserably to do so, almost falling to the bed that I just fucked 2 whores on.
Who are you right now?
She scoffed out with an expression I'd never seen before. I stepped toward her and she instantly stepped back, placing her hands out in front of her. Babe.
Don't babe me. You don't get to call me that. I mean, look at you. Your bandage is drenched in blood. Was it fucking worth it? Is this who you are when I'm not around, Creed? Huh? Is that why you don't want me here? Can't do your drugs? Can't drink yourself into a coma? Can't fuck your whores?
She yelled, grabbing the ashtray off the table and hurling it at me. I barely moved out of the way, my reaction time lagging. The fuck? What do you want me to say? You already know the answer! I roared, pushing through the emotionless state, rubbing the back of my head again, my mind unable to catch up with the bullshit happening right now.
How could you do this to me? I came here to tell you I was sorry. I came here to tell you how much I love you. I'm not your fucking doormat. You may treat these women like the whores they are, but it's nothing compared to the way you just treated me. Showing me I mean nothing to you.
She yelled, her eyes watering with tears. You weren't supposed to be here, Autumn. Weren't supposed to see that.
And that makes it okay? That changes things? No, it doesn't change one fucking thing. Not what you did. Not how I feel. Nothing.
I tried to step toward her again, but the look in her face is enough to stop me. I sat on the edge of the bed, no longer able to stand on my own 2 feet, holding my head in my hands, resting my elbows on my knees. Should have never taken you to bed. That was my fuck-up, caused you pain, and for that I'm fucking sorry. I stated in a sincere tone, hoping she would understand. This is who I am, cocking my head to look at her. This is who I've always been, babe. Never lied to you, and you know that. Tears fell down her beautiful face, her lip quivering. She wiped them all away. Look on her face in that moment nearly brought me to my fucking knees. She stepped back, shaking her head, as if we already didn't have enough space between us.
I hate you.
She breathed out.
Do you hear me? I fucking hate you, Creed Jameson. I wish I never met you. You finally got what you wanted. I want nothing to do with you, ever. You're dead to me.
I abruptly stood. Autumn, you don't mean that. You don't fucking mean that. I gritted out, sobering the fuck up real fast. She walked toward me, each step precise and calculated, grabbing my face between her hands, looking deep into my eyes long and hard for what felt like forever, as if she was trying to remember my face. She whispered,
Luke wouldn't have wanted this for you. He would have been so disappointed in the man you've become.
I grimaced. Words searing my skin. It was a pain far worse than taking a fucking bullet from my old man.
I hate you,
she repeated with much more conviction in her tone.
You just lost the last good thing in your life.
With that, she turned, never once looking back. Walking out of my life, knowing everything she said was true. Chapter 13, Creed. I missed her. I fucking missed her. But most of all, I missed us. Depression wasn't something to fuck with. I hated what I did to her, what it did to us, but mostly I just hated my goddamn self for being such a goddamn bastard. I couldn't take it anymore. She had been on my mind constantly for the last month. I rode to her house, ready to give her whatever she wanted, as long as it kept her in my life. Knocking on her door, waiting anxiously for her to answer.
Hey, sweetie.
Mom greeted, opening the door, pulling me in for a hug. Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I sighed, pulling away. Been better. Placing my hands in my pockets, I stood on their porch, looking down at my boots. The guilt consuming me. I couldn't even bring myself to look at her mother, the woman who treated me like her own son. I glanced at her and she knowingly smiled, cocking her head to the side. Is she around?
No, honey, she's not.
I nodded. Listen, I know she don't want to see me. I don't blame her either, but I gotta talk to her, Laura. Can't go on like this anymore. I miss the hell out of her.
I know. She misses you too, Creed.
I smiled, needing to hear that. Can I see her, please? She shook her head.
Honey, she's not here.
Where is she? I'll go find her. Just tell me where she is. Need to make things right, Laura.
She's in New York.
I jerked back, not expecting her to say that. New York? What's she doing there?
She's living with her daddy now.
Living? I questioned, feeling as if she kicked me in the balls. The news hitting me fucking hard. She nodded, muttering.
She moved there about 2 weeks ago. She just needs some time, Creed.
She paused, letting her words sink in.
You really hurt her. Broke her heart. She wanted a fresh start. Her daddy has been begging her to come back to New York for years. You know that.
Shaking my head, I scoffed out. She wanted away from me. I did this. Laura didn't say a word, knowing I was right. I didn't think twice about it. My mind was made up the second she said Autumn was in New York. You still live in Lower Manhattan off of Parks? I asked, stepping back, making my way back over to my bike.
Yes.
I spoke with execution. You tell her I'm coming for her. I spent the rest of the day getting everything in order with the club, letting them know I was taking a much-needed vacation. Pops wasn't happy about it, but what could he do? I was a grown-ass man. I took a red-eye flight, wanting to get to her as fast as possible. I was going to fight for her, and if that didn't work, I was ready to drag her ass back home, kicking and screaming if I had to, using any means necessary. She didn't belong in New York. She belonged by my side. By the time I landed, I was fucking exhausted, almost passing out on the cab ride to my hotel. The Residence Inn downtown Manhattan wasn't far from where she lived. I knew this part of New York pretty well, having spent a lot of summers and holidays with her family. Autumn loved showing me everything and anything she could, even the shit that bored the absolute hell out of me. After I checked in just after 3 a.m, I took a shower, cleaning up from the late flight. Before hitting the sack, I sat out on the balcony, smoking a cigarette, looking out at the bright lights of the city that never sleeps. I always loved New York at night. There was something about the scenic view only Manhattan could provide. Breathing in a deep drag off my cigarette, I could physically feel the energy all around. Wanting to get a few hours of sleep before seeing Autumn, I finally passed out about an hour later. My phone rang, waking me up early the next morning. I reached over, grabbing it off the nightstand, not bothering to see who it was. Yeah, I groggily answered, wiping the sleep away from my eyes.
Creed? Creed, oh my God, are you here in New York?
Autumn hysterically wailed into the phone. I shot up out of bed, feeling as if my heart was in my fucking throat. All I could hear were emergency sirens all around her, cars honking their horns, and people screaming. Autumn, what's going on? You all right? Where are you? I frantically asked, throwing on clothes and my boots, hurrying around the room, grabbing my wallet and room key, ready to head out the door, needing to get to wherever she was.
My mom told me you were coming. I didn't believe her. I can't believe you're here. You're really here?
I'm here, babe. Now tell me where you are, I asked, trying to remain calm.
Oh, God, Creed, turn on the news. Just turn on the news right now. I'm in the car with my dad. We were going to breakfast. They just radioed him for an emergency. We're on our way over. Just please, turn on the news. It will explain it better than I can. I can't believe this is...
Calm down. I can barely hear you. What the fuck is going...
Just turn on the damn news, Creed.
I turned around, grabbing the remote off the nightstand, clicking on the television and turning it to the first news station I could find. My eyes widened at the scene playing out before me. The fuck? I murmured to myself.
We have unconfirmed reports that a plane has crashed into the North Twin Tower moments ago. We are affording more information on the subject as it becomes available.
The broadcaster declared. I flipped a few more channels, all reporting the same thing. You are watching live coverage of the North Twin Tower clearly on fire. Something devastating has happened. Again, unconfirmed reports that a plane has crashed into the North Twin Tower. A two-engine jet has crashed into one of the Twin Towers. More information as it becomes available.
A plane has crashed into the World Trade Center. What a catastrophic day for New York City. A plane has flown directly into the World Trade Center.
Holy shit, I breathed out, taking in the live images of the smoke billowing out of the sides of the North Tower of the World Trade Center. Flames licked the side of the building, producing dark gray clouds that blanketed the bright blue morning skies. A gaping hole marred the side of the tower where a plane crashed, lodging itself into the steel frame, taking out several floors in its destruction. My eyes searched out the time, 9:11. An uneasiness I hadn't felt in years washed over me, picturing how many innocent lives were taken, and how many more would perish in the coming hours. My goddamn humanity that I turned off came back full force, seeing the horrific scene in front of me. Autumn's panicked voice brought me back to reality.
Creed, are you there? Did you see?
I shook my head as if she could see me, running out of the room, heading for the stairway. Where are you?
We're heading to the towers. We're almost there,
she shouted over the noise. Autumn, you listen to me. You stay on the phone, you understand me? You stay on the fucking phone until I get to you.
Okay,
she whimpered. I ran out of the hotel building, searching for the streets left and right, taking in the calm before the storm. Chief, are you en route? We need you here now. It's anarchy. All shit is breaking loose, and we have no correspondence. What the fuck just happened? I heard a man's voice yell over the radio through the phone. I'm on my way. I have my daughter with me, but I'm on my way. My ETA is about 5 minutes. I'm turning down the road now. Get the crew assembled. Meet you in the front lobby of the North Tower, her dad Carl replied in a steady tone. Autumn, can you hear me? I took off running down the street in the direction of the East River toward the Twin Towers, trying to decide the fastest route to get to her. Busting a left on Liberty Street, I came face to face with mayhem. Flashing lights, sirens echoing off the skyscrapers that were a part of the Manhattan skyline. There was so much noise, so many fucking screams coming from every direction. Debris falling down from the heavens like snow, covering everything in its wake. All I saw was chaos and disorder erupting all around me. Local business alarms sounded from the impact of the explosion. People stampeded the streets and sidewalks, abandoning their fucking cars to run to safety, trying like hell to get to and from the building as I tried to make my way through. The closer I got, the more debris floated through the air, and my visibility started to fog. I ran faster, pounding my feet into the pavement, ignoring the burn in my lungs, the stinging in my sides, making my way through the streets, plowing through everything and everyone that stood in my fucking way, shoving reporters out of my face, hounding me, asking me if I saw what happened, if I could describe what I had seen to them, what I was feeling, what I thought was happening, but all I could think about was getting to her. Getting to fucking Autumn.
Creed, I'm so scared. I'm really scared. Where are you?
She bellowed through the noise into the phone on the verge of hysterics. On my way to you. Just stay on the line with me. No matter what, you stay on the fucking line with me. Chief, I heard someone shout from a distance on the phone. Autumn, you guys there? Where are you? Tell me exactly where you are. I shouted into the phone, running as fast as I fucking could down the street, pulling my t-shirt over my mouth and nose, the smog becoming too much. My boots pounded against the pavement, nothing but adrenaline keeping me going.
We're in front of the lobby of the North Tower. I'm in my dad's car. We're right out in front,
she yelled back. The plane crashed into the North Tower, Chief, I heard someone say over the phone again. Floors 90 through 99 are covered in smoke and engulfed in flames. We can't get in there, though. The main stairwell has collapsed between those floors. We're going to try the other emergency exits. Do we know how many are trapped? No, Chief, we need to move fast. The fire is out of control. People are starting to hang out the windows up there. Okay, get in the floor plans of the North Tower, now. Suit up, we're going in, I heard a mortar. Autumn, what's going on? She didn't answer. All I could hear was her cries.
Dad, don't do this! Why are you putting on a uniform? Where are you going in there? You're the chief. You don't have to go in there. What are you doing?
Autumn panicked, screaming to her father. I ran fucking faster, dodging police cars, ambulances, and people running in the opposite directions, shoving them out of the way. Baby girl, I need to go in there. I need to leave my men. This is my job, what I'm trained for. This is what I do. You stay in this car, do you understand me, Autumn? You do not get out of this car, Carl ordered to his daughter.
No! Don't go in there! Please, please, please don't go in there! Please!
She pleaded in a desperate tone I could make out clear as day, even with all the madness around me. Creed, you there? Yes, sir, I responded to her father. I hadn't spoken to him in years, but he still sounded the same. On my way, almost there. About 5 minutes if I can get through. You make sure she stays in the car. She does not go into that building. You both stay out of that building. You have my word, I swore, meaning it with every last fucking fiber in my being.
Daddy, don't do this to me. You can help. Just stay right here with me. You can still help, please.
Autumn, I'll be right back, I promise. Creed is almost here. You do not get out of this car. I heard a door slam shut, and then Autumn broke down, crying uncontrollably, beating her hands on the window, pleading for him to come back. Babe, almost there. Shh, I'm almost there. Calm down.
He can't go in there. It's bad, Creed. It's so fucking bad. I don't want to lose him. He's my father, Creed. I can't do this. I can't just sit here.
Babe, I love you. I fucking love you, I declared without a second thought, trying to distract her before I made it to her. She sniffled.
Do you mean that?
I missed the hell out of her, finally understanding the meaning of absence makes the heart grow fonder. This last month was fucking brutal without seeing or hearing from her. After that night she'd walked in on me, I kept to myself, focused on my vice pres duties, turning down every piece of ass thrown my way, spending every fucking night staring at my ceiling wondering what she was doing, what she was thinking, and most of all, praying she didn't really fucking hate me. I did love Autumn. Maybe with time I could grow to be in love with her, but I would tell her anything she needed to hear in that moment to keep her fucking safe, even if it meant I was lying. I missed you. I missed you so fucking much. Need you back in my life, by my side. On the back of my fucking bike, yeah?
Yeah.
She wept like it was all she ever wanted to hear as I dodged more and more people evacuating the area. Almost there, I can see the building.
Okay.
Suddenly, a piercing boom sounded from the building, causing me to pull the phone away from my ear. Autumn! I shouted back into the receiver, checking my screen to see if there was still a connection. Babe! Autumn!
Oh my God.
She faintly muttered. You okay? What was that? What's going on? The building was right in my sight, and so was the cause of the noise. People fell to their deaths, making the choice to jump, knowing there was no other way out. I swallowed the bile that rose in my throat and pushed myself harder to get to her. I'd seen some fucked up shit in life, but nothing compared to this. Autumn, answer me, goddammit!
I can't just sit here. I have to go inside. I have to go find my dad.
She rattled.
I can't just stand back and let him go. People are...
Autumn, do not get out of that fucking car. Stay there, you hear me? Promise me you stay there. Autumn, fucking say something. All I could hear over the screams was heavy breathing and sobs.
I'm sorry, Creed. I have my dad's radio in case...
I heard the car door slam shut and more commotion take the place of her sobs over the phone. Sirens blasted louder and louder. Autumn, stay in the fucking car. Beep, beep, beep. The line went dead. Fuck! I yelled out, frustrated that she never fucking listened. Not thinking twice about it, I hauled ass over a car, sprinting down the street, needing to get to her, praying I would find her before she got up the nerve to enter the tower. Knocking people down, not giving a fuck anymore. Real fucking fear coursed through my veins for the third time in my life, throbbing through my bloodstream, taking over every last inch of my body. My heart pounded against my chest as I tried to cross the street and make my way over to the building. Over to Autumn. My vision tunneled, seeing nothing but Luke staring back at me, flashes of Autumn's face intermixed with his. I tried to shake them away, but they were merciless and unforgiving. I spotted her dad's car, confirming my worst nightmare. She was gone. I darted to the front of the building, dreading that I wouldn't be able to find her. There were people everywhere, covered in ash and blood, stumbling out of the entry where the doors used to be. As soon as I got close enough, all I could see were the fire trucks and emergency vehicles, all lined up on the streets. Emergency personnel grabbed the injured, running them to safety. If such a place even existed anymore, there wasn't an inch of space that wasn't surrounded by something or someone. I searched the area for any sign of her, jumping up on an abandoned car to my right, desperately trying to find Autumn in all the goddamn mayhem. Autumn! Autumn! I screamed as loud as I could when I spotted a girl near the entrance that was Autumn's build. Autumn, no! Stay there! I took off running, dodging people left and right when a strong arm came out of nowhere, stomping me cold. Sir, you can't go in there, the firefighter shouted, blocking my way with a few others. Need to find Autumn. I need to get in there. Get the fuck out of my way, I roared, shoving my way through. Sir, I understand, but you need to let us do our job. Some fucking job you're doing. You let her go in there. What the fuck were you a few minutes ago? I seethed, grabbing him by his uniform, getting right up in his face. You let me by or I'll fuck you up. You have no idea who you're messing with. I shoved him away from me, getting ready to cock my fist back. Creed? I agitatedly turned around, coming face to face with Carl's ex-partner. His family and him used to come on vacations with us. Fuck, I hadn't seen him in years either, but I never thought I'd be so happy to see him again in that moment. Troy, Autumn went in there. She went in the fucking building. He jerked back, stunned. Shit, he breathed out. Need to get in there, Troy. Need to find her. She has her dad's radio. He abruptly turned, cutting me off, gesturing for me to follow him. I did, running behind him toward his fire truck. He grabbed his radio, turning the frequency on, putting his mouth up to the walkie. He pressed the side button, stating, Come in, Autumn. Are you there? It's Troy. Can you hear me? The static noise of the radio faded in and out. Screams and chaos ran through the receiver. She was inside. I swear, I stopped fucking breathing as I waited to hear Autumn's voice for some indication that she was okay. She was alive.
Troy?
Radio crackled. More screaming.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
My heart soared back to life, roughly snatching the radio out of his hand, visibly taking a deep breath, stressing out, Babe, where are you?
Creed? Creed, is that you? People are on fire. Oh my God, Creed, I can't find my dad.
More crackling. More loud booms. More chaos and cries. Where are you? I demanded, on the verge of fucking losing it, hanging on by a goddamn thread. Nothing but static radiated from my hand. I peered all around me looking for an opening to bust through, taking matters in my own hands and getting her the fuck out of there, taking down anyone who fucking stood in my way, praying to God that this would soon be over, ready to get on my hands and knees and beg for mercy for Autumn's safety, for Carl's, pleading for his forgiveness for all my sins. A loud noise caused me to look up at the sky. It was then that I knew my nightmare had only just begun. It was then that I knew the life I'd been living was over. A passenger plane appeared out of nowhere, disappearing into the south tower, crashing into the other side of the building. 2 more minutes passed. Thicker black smoke flew out of the windows. Glass shattered into the air, raining down on the streets of Manhattan. More chaos erupted, and bystanders started to scream and run for cover all around me. Another explosion hit the building, caused me to duck, throwing my arms over my head, falling to the ground onto my shoulder, dislocating it. Grabbing my throbbing arm, I peered up from the ground to see people running out of the building, making the sign of the cross, praying for the people who were stuck and couldn't get out, or who had already fucking died. I put the radio up to my mouth. Autumn! I coughed out. Autumn, please answer me! Autumn! I spent almost the next hour trying the radio, looking through the masses of people for some sight of her, refusing medical treatment for my arm. I would endure the pain the rest of my life just to see my girl's face again, to know she was all right, not lying somewhere, hurt, scared, and alone, praying she'd found Carl and that they were safe. Praying the Reaper, that I always wanted to take me, didn't fucking take her instead. I was about to give up all hope. I could physically feel her slipping away from my existence, exactly like I felt Luke so many years before. Firefighters, cops, ambulances, health professionals all stepped up that day trying to help, giving their lives for others, complete strangers. Nothing could even come close to describing what I saw, but would forever be ingrained in my mind till my fucking time was up. The radio clicked over.
Creed?
Autumn whimpered through the receiver. Babe. Babe, where are you? I urged, running toward the building, ignoring every fucking person who got in my way.
I'm hurt. I hurt everywhere. Please, please, help me.
Baby, I wept, unable to hold back the tears any longer. Just tell me where you are, Autumn. Her voice is barely audible. Autumn, listen to me. I'm coming, babe. Need you to fight, please. I love you so fucking much. So damn much. I'm sorry. I'm so fucking sorry for everything, I confessed.
I love you always. I'm so...
The loudest sound spread over Manhattan, breaking the sound barrier, traveling from the towers of the streets in waves like a bomb went off, jerking me back with an unexplainable force. Building started to explode as rescue team was pulling me away. Panic and pandemonium surrounded me, engulfing me in nothing but sorrow and desperation of what just happened. Debris falling everywhere. Dark plume of smoke billowed out of the buildings as if hell had officially taken over. Swallowing the 11th day of September and everything down into the black abyss. It was an endless stream of havoc and destruction. The tower started collapsing like a fucking game of dominoes, floor after floor to the ground in flames. A tragedy. The devastation. The loss of faith in humanity. In my fucking world. As I knew it.
Chapter 14. Creed. The day that changed America, President Bush declared during his speech from Ellis Island, commencing the 1-year anniversary of the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center. For those who lost loved ones, it has been a year of sorrow, empty places. Newborn children who will never know their fathers here on Earth. For members of our military, it's been a year of sacrifice and service far from their homes. For all Americans, it has been a year of adjustment, coming to terms with the difficult knowledge that our nation is determined enemies, and that we are not invulnerable to their attacks. I've been walking the streets surrounding Ground Zero all day, since I landed early that morning, reflecting on my life, remembering those who had fallen under the hands of terrorists, including my best fucking friend. The side of the once thriving tower is nothing but a pit in the ground. Across the street, there is a wall lined with victims' pictures, some who were found in the rubble, others who weren't so fortunate. A makeshift memorial of letters to loved ones, flowers, stuffed animals, candles, all filled the space, acting as a place to grieve for those who lost a huge part of their lives in seconds. Watching families break down even after a year lost on that tragic day, September 11th, was like reliving it all over again. Both towers came down that day, collapsing into a heap of marred steel. Later finding out the temperature of the fires melted the steel, causing floor after floor to fall upon the next till the towers no longer upright. There was zero visibility for the longest time. Everything for miles covered in white ash. Emergency vehicles, cars, and buses crushed beneath, barely sticking up through the mayhem. I spent the 3 days following the attack searching for Autumn and Carl, praying I'd find them among the ashes and debris, dead or alive. I remembered it as if it were yesterday, reliving it every goddamn day since. Diesel and some of the other brothers rode in the next morning, riding out all fucking night, just as they could help me search for the woman I knew was gone. Mayor Giuliani, along with thousands of other citizens in New York City, rummaged through the 2,000 tons of steel for days, foregoing sleep to try and save lives that were hanging on by a fucking thread. Death was all around me. It had been all around me all my fucking life. Now here I was a year later, standing by the pit of the worst nightmare America had ever lived through, trying to get my feet to move, to take the steps across the street, to add pictures of Autumn and Carl to the memorial, to feel as if they weren't just figments of my imagination, to know that they were truly real. It took me all fucking day to walk across the street to do just that. I lit a candle for their souls, praying they're resting in peace. I never found their bodies under all the mangled metal. I never found any sign that they actually existed, just dust and ashes. All I had left was my tarnished memory of them, like a broken mirror that was nothing but shards of glass. I never slept anymore, hearing Autumn's voice play over and over in my head like a broken record I couldn't stop, I couldn't pause, I couldn't fucking forget.
I love you, always. I'm so...
The boom jolted me awake every fucking time. Sometimes I felt like I had died right along with him. Sometimes I wish I had. September 11th, 2001 will always be a fixed point in the life of America. The loss of so many lives left us to examine our own. Each of us were reminded that we were only here for a time. Those counted days should be filled with things that matter. Love for our families, love for our neighbors, and for our country. I spent the last year aimlessly wandering around through daily life, fighting for a cause I felt like I was always fucking losing. Didn't matter how many lives I took, for whatever reason, good or bad. I protected my brothers, I fought and killed for the club, and I did everything that was expected of me, all in the name of the colors of my cut, making me realize I was no better than those goddamn terrorists. Autumn was right. She was the last bit of good left in my life. The last piece of the man she wished I could be died right along with her. She was gone, and I felt like there was only so much I could do to try to make it right. There was one thing I learned about living and breathing the MC. It was vengeance wasn't a way of life. It was life. An eye for an eye was all I'd ever fucking known. My mind had been struggling with a decision, going back and forth an endless amount of times, contemplating what was right or what was wrong. Thoughts consumed me until there was no doubt left inside me, knowing the only good that could come of it was my own peace of mind. I checked in on Laura often, hoping it would drown out the remorse, alleviate some of my guilty conscience, making sure she was all right, helping her any way I could, being responsible for only daughter's death stemmed from me. Autumn would have never been in New York if I hadn't pushed her away. Her mother was coping as best she could, but each day seemed like a struggle, some better than others. I swear there were times she looked at me the same way my mother did, blaming me for another innocent life I had taken. Walked around aimlessly, needing the distraction. Sidewalks filled with endless amounts of people,
civilians, police, first responders, and military. Men and women dressed in fatigues, there to honor the fallen, including their own who lost their lives fighting for our country. All gathered together to remember another day that will forever fucking haunt me. My flat landed back in North Carolina just after 9 o'clock at night. I walked up to the front door of my house, placing my hand on the doorknob, pausing before walking into my broken fucking household, considering when to break the news to my mother, to Noah, to the goddamn Prez. I flipped on the light as I walked in, throwing my keys on the entry shelf before making my way to the kitchen, not surprised to find her passed out at the dining room table. I stood there taking in her appearance for what seemed like an eternity, her bony right hand wrapped around an empty bottle of vodka, while the other one clutched onto a framed picture of Luke. Pulling out the chair adjacent to her, I sat down, leaning back and placing my boots on the table, giving her arm a little shove. "Wake up, Ma. Need to talk to you." She stirred, groaning.
"Not now, baby. I'm so tired."
She yawned.
"Oh, it's been a really long day. We can talk tomorrow."
She placed her head back down on the table, completely dismissing me. I abruptly stood, my chair hitting the wall behind me with a thud. "Tired my ass," I gritted out, hovering above her, working my hands and fists at my sides. My patience was wearing very fucking thin. There was only so much more I could take. My temper looming, I could feel myself at the tipping point of surrendering to my anger. Losing all fucking control. She groggily looked up at me, squinting from the bright light.
"What do you want from me?"
she mumbled. Her head swayed and her eyes flickered shut. Before I knew what I was doing, my hands connected with the table, slamming down onto the wood, causing her to jerk back.
"What the heck?"
I grabbed a hold of her chair, roughly spinning her to look me in the eyes. "This is how it's gonna go down," I snapped through a clenched jaw close to her face. The smell of booze immediately assaulted my senses, fueling the rage I felt deep in my core. "You're gonna listen to everything I gotta say, whether you like it or not. I've had enough of your fucking bullshit." Her head rolled back, then upright again.
"I said not tonight, Creed, and don't you dare talk to me like that. I'm still your mama."
That warning, I lifted her out of her chair, throwing her over my shoulder like she weighed nothing. Barreling down the hallway past Noah's room to the bathroom, she pounded her fists weakly into my back.
"Put me down, Creed! What are you doing? Put me down!"
she belligerently screamed. I didn't falter, tearing back the shower curtain. I turned on the faucet, cranking the lever to cold water.
"Don't you dare! You put me down right now!"
"Not a fucking problem!" I slammed her ass down into the tub with her clothes on, grabbing the shower head from the cradle, dousing her body with a spray.
"That's freezing! Stop!"
I didn't let up, making sure I drenched every last inch of her. She needed to be fucking sober to try to have a normal conversation with her.
"Stop! Now! Who do you think you are?"
I shut off the water, throwing the sprayer into the tub next to her.
"What is so important that it couldn't wait till tomorrow?"
she spat, looking down at her soaking wet body with her arms out to her sides. I crouched down, leaning close to her face, gazing deep into her drunken, vacant eyes for the first time in years, looking past her demons, needing to see the real woman staring back at me, the mother I still had and wanted in my mind, the same one I still knew lived inside of her, buried under all the hurt and pain, hidden behind all the happy memories that had become her worst nightmares. Realization hit me right then and there. I needed to calm the fuck down. There was no use screaming at a drunk. Wouldn't get me anywhere except more pissed off than I already was. At the end of the day, she would always be my mother, the woman who gave me life, the one I love more than anything in my fucked up life. I needed to rationalize with her, make her see the big picture, make her understand what I saw, what Noah saw, how there was nothing fucking left of her but the memories in our minds. "Do you even care anymore, Ma? Do you have any idea how hard it's been seeing you like this? How bad it fucking hurts that I'm looking at you right now, and I have no idea who this woman is staring back at me. She ain't my mother," I confess, leaning back on the heels of my boots, shaking my head. Her eyes quickly glazed over, my words hitting her hard, breaking through the alcohol-induced blur. "Luke died, Ma. I know it fucking hurts. I know that more than anyone, yeah?" I breathed out, cocking my head to the side, taking her in. "I'm the one that pulled the trigger, remember? I'm the one that put him to ground. Me." Hitting my chest, needing to get through to her. "I know there are some days it hurts so fucking bad that you can't breathe. suffocating because the pain won't let you go. I get it. I understand because I feel it too. There hasn't been a day that's gone by that I haven't. She winced, biting her bottom lip to control the trembling, allowing her emotions to seep through, finally permitting herself to mourn the death of her son.
Autumn died, Ma.
She fucking died. Her eyes watered with tears, nodding.
I know.
Could have fooled me. Haven't said a word about it. You're barely coherent through her funeral, I reminded, remembering how I put her belligerent ass in the cab after the service, ordering a prospect to follow and put her to bed since she could barely stand on her own. I rubbed the back of my head, peering down at the ground, lost in my own thoughts. I'm trying. I'm trying so fucking hard to keep it together. Pushing through all the bullshit, all the hurt and pain. Keep my emotions in check by throwing myself into the club and to being VP. This is my life, Ma. Violence and death. There is no turning back for me. I spoke sincerely, taking a deep breath before continuing. I keep making excuses for you, enabling you. And I can't fucking do it anymore, Ma. It ain't right. I scoffed out, paused and let my words sink in. Looking up at her tear-soaked face, we locked eyes. You're nothing but a drunk and a sorry-ass excuse for a mother. Noah deserves better. With that, I stood, grabbing the towel off the rack, throwing it at her, immediately feeling like shit that I just said that to her, knowing it was my fault to begin with. She caught it mid-air, her chest rising and falling, contemplating what to say. I could see her mind spinning out of control. Opened her mouth to say something, but nothing came out. I couldn't look at her any longer without saying something I would fucking regret, so I just turned around, leaving her to battle her own demons. I couldn't protect her anymore. I walked onto the back porch, leaving the door open, needing to get some fresh air to clear my head, listening to her sobs wreak havoc on her frail body through the bathroom window. I sat on the steps, resting my elbows on my knees. I pulled out a cigarette, bringing it to the corner of my mouth. I flicked back the lighter, inhaling long and hard, searing the filter, allowing the nicotine to burn its way through my lungs before blowing out a wad of smoke.
Creed, ah,
Ma whispered, crying from behind me. I didn't bother to turn around. Her fucking shame was already burning a hole in my back.
I don't know how to stop,
she bellowed, sucking in air, trying to find her breath.
I was his mama, for God's sake. My only job was to protect him. I failed. You may have pulled the trigger, baby, but he was only there because of me. He should have been home in bed. What kind of mama am I? I don't deserve you or Noah. I don't deserve anything.
I closed my eyes, leaning my head back against the porch railing, needing a minute. I always knew she felt responsible for Luke's death, but hearing her actually say the goddamn words was almost too much for me to take. Heavy footsteps filled the silence, coming up the driveway, echoing through my thoughts. I didn't have to wonder who it was. Neither one of us did. I took one last drag of my cigarette, waiting until the footsteps stopped out in front of me, already fucking dreading the outcome of what I was about to say. I took a deep breath, speaking with conviction. Gonna enlist in the army, I divulged, opening my eyes and looked up, meeting my father's stare. The fuck you are, Creed, he instantly drawled out. I immediately stood, flicking out my cigarette, not backing down, coming face to face with him.
Jameson,
Ma coaxed, slowly stepping up beside me, fixing her wet dress and wiping away her tears. Don't want to hear your shit tonight, woman. Do you hear your son? Where the fuck did this come from? What bullshit are you telling him?
Nothing. I haven't told him anything. Leave him alone. He wants to do some good in his life. He's your son. Start treating him like one.
I give my boys everything. The fuck you talking about?
And Luke?
Jesus Christ, back to this shit again. He viciously spewed, eyeing her up and down. It's been one less mouth to fucking feed. I ain't even sure that little shit was mine. My mother never reacted to my father's abuse, but there was something about the look in her eyes in that moment that showed me this wasn't gonna fucking end well.
You son of a bitch! You piece of shit!
She screamed, lunging at him off the porch, using all her strength to scratch, punch, and kick him, doing anything and everything she could in her power to physically hurt him. Her fist connected with his temple, stunning him for a second. I sprang into action, stepping in before he regained his composure and was able to really hurt her. Grabbing a hold of her waist, I roughly jerked her flailing body off of him, holding her in my arms.
It's your fault. It's your fault he's fucking dead. Your godforsaken club is just violence and death. You did this, and I hope you burn in hell for it.
She seethed, trying to fight me off. Ma, enough! Enough! I yelled, trying to calm her down, locking my arms tight around her. You stupid bitch. Look around. I have given you everything because of that godforsaken club. This is how you treat me? After everything I've done for you? After taking you back? After you...
I wish I would have stayed. I wish I had never come back to you. That was the worst decision of my life.
She wrestled her way out of my grasp, getting right up to his face.
You aren't half the man you think you are. You're nothing like he...
The barrel of his gun was right under her chin, rendering her speechless. The cool metal didn't faze her one bit. She didn't back down. The alcohol and fury running through her veins is all the liquid courage she needed. I didn't falter, moving fast, getting over to them in two strides, forcefully pushing her body out of the line of fire. Her tiny frame fell to the ground, but all that mattered to me was that she wasn't on the other end of that fucking barrel. When I turned back around, the gun was now pointed at my chest.
Creed, no, let...
I shoved her back down. Do it! Want to kill someone? Then fucking do it, Prez! I mocked, gritting my teeth. Pull the trigger. It don't matter to me anymore. Grabbing the barrel of the gun, I held it firmly in place over my heart. His eyes glazed over at the sincerity of my words. It was quick, but I saw it. I knew he wouldn't do it. His finger didn't move from the trigger, though. I secretly wished he would take the shot. He never even thanked me for taking a bullet for him. Never even said one goddamn word about it. I saved his life, and he still wanted to own mine. I saw Noah from the corner of my eye standing by the door, watching it all go down. I didn't know how long he'd been standing there, but by the look on his face, he had seen enough. Pops took a long, deep breath, stepping back, lowering his gun. She died, Creed. Autumn fucking died. Wanna go fight for your country? B.G.I. fucking Joe? That ain't gonna bring her back. You don't know shit about shit, I spit out. Turn your back on your brothers? On your fucking family? He pushed me, but I didn't waver. Don't deserve to wear that fucking cut. His fist collided with my face before he got the last word out. My head whooshed back, taking half my body with me. Ma screamed as Noah witnessed Pop's assault. She rushed over to him and took him inside. I stumbled, shaking it off. This how it's gonna go down? I asked, spitting blood onto the lawn. He growled, charging me, ramming his shoulder into my torso, taking me to the ground. My back skidded into the rough grass behind me, but I was prepared for it now and instantly fought back. We wrestled around for a few minutes, each of us trying to gain the upper hand on the other. Elbows, fists, and legs flew everywhere, intermingling together as we threw down. I was able to get on top of him and get a few hits to his fucking face. Taking out all the years of pent-up anger and resentment toward him for Luke and the way he buried him. Don't want to fucking fight you, you old fuck. Calm down and let me explain. He hit me in the gut, causing me to fall to the side. He used the momentum of his punch to flip me over, locking me in with his weight. I immediately guarded my face, but it didn't matter. He punched me in the ribs, the stomach, getting a few good hits to the side of my face, too. God damn it! I roared, blocking another blow. Not taking off my cut. Don't want out of the club. I earned these fucking colors, you dick. I just need this. Not just for her, for me. I'm fucking losing myself, old man. He abruptly stopped with his fist midair, both of us panting heavily, sweating profusely. Our eyes remained wild and brazen as we took in each other. A few moments later, he lowered his fist, shoving off me, never taking our intense, crazed stares away from one another. I stood up, needing to take a few steps back to collect myself. All my life, all I've done is follow your fucking orders. Never ask you for a damn thing in return. Need you to be my father this one fucking time. I breathed out, breaking the silence between us. Need you to make this right and take those motherfuckers out. You can understand that more than anyone, Prez. Cocking my head to the side. Just need a leave of absence. Ain't no different if I was locked up. My loyalty is still to the club when I get discharged. I just need this, I repeated. His face is void of any emotion. For the first time in my life, I couldn't read him at all. Don't make me beg, I found myself saying. He stepped back, wiping the blood in the corner of his mouth at the back of his hand. His thoughts clearly waged war in his mind in regards to what he was going to do. He turned to leave, stopping at the last second. looking at me with nothing but disgust in his eyes, and finally said, "Colin Church, your ass better be there at noon tomorrow." He left, never once turning back to look at me. I staggered my way inside, grabbing a dish towel from my bloody nose and lip before heading into the living room. Ma came running up to me as soon as she saw me walking in. "I'm fine," I groaned, wrapping my arm around my ribs, hissing through the pain. I took a seat on the couch.
"Let me get the first aid kit,"
she hurried out of the room before I could refuse. I sank further into the couch, placing my legs on the coffee table, closing my eyes and breathing through the pain. And I wasn't talking about the aches in my body. "You really leaving us?" Noah murmured from behind me, just loud enough for me to hear. It seemed like it was one fucking thing after another, feeling his disappointment stabbing into my skin with a jagged blade. "Noah, I... You're gonna leave me with him? You're all I got, Creed," he lamented, his voice breaking. "What if you die, like Luke? What if someone accidentally pulls a trigger on you, Creed? What happens then?" I opened my mouth to say something, but quickly shut it, realizing Noah knew more than I ever gave him credit for. I didn't know how to make him understand my reason for a decision I had never taken lightly. I spent the last year contemplating this life-altering choice. Today only confirmed what I already knew I had to fucking do. He walked over, standing in front of me. "Joe's dad never came back from war. I don't want to lose another brother. I gotta do this, Noah. Not only for Autumn, but for myself. Don't expect you to understand, but I do need you to respect my decision and know this is for you too." "I call bullshit," I shrugged. "Don't know what you want me to say, Noah." "Just go, Creed. Don't worry about me. I'll figure shit out on my own." "I love you, Noah. You're my brother. You're in my blood. Nothing gonna change that." He slowly backed away. "Whatever you have to tell yourself, go die for your fucking country." He took one last look at me, shook his head, and left. I didn't sleep all that night, listening to the voices inside my head, praying to God I was making the right choice. Knowing in the end it didn't fucking matter. I rode out to the clubhouse early next morning, sat in on Church as if I was a man waiting for his execution. The vote was unanimous. I left the club that afternoon and enlisted into the U.S. Army.
Chapter 15. Mia. My family had been fighting for weeks. My mama in tears, my daddy constantly yelling. I hated seeing everyone so upset. My family wasn't perfect. We had our disagreements. Arguments even broke out from time to time, but they never lasted longer than a few hours, maybe a day. This was different. It didn't stop. The same thing every day. Mason enlisted in the Army without even discussing it with anyone, including my parents. He'd be leaving in a few days for boot camp, saying he needed to do something for the greater good, make a difference. My parents didn't understand nor agree with the way he decided to go about it. All they saw was that he was putting his life in danger. There were plenty of opportunities to do good right here in North Carolina. We all knew he wanted to go into the military someday. He'd been saying it ever since I could remember. I didn't take him seriously. No one did. It had been a year since some terror guys took down the World Trade Center in New York. I didn't understand what that meant, or why anyone would want to hurt people they didn't know. Why couldn't we all just get along and spread love, not hate? Daddy said the world wasn't made like that, but people like me are what made it better. Everyone kept saying it was a day America would never forget, especially my brother. His friend Autumn, the girl Creed was always around, was killed in the North Tower that day. The news took a toll on Mason, giving him the excuse he needed to enlist. Fighting for our country was his calling. Protecting the ones he loved was his mission. The tension was on high alert in my house, making it become our own war zone since he told them. Giselle wouldn't even speak to him. From what I gathered, eavesdropping at his door, he didn't discuss this life-changing decision with her either. Aunt Aubrey and Giselle came over one night to hang out, and all she did was cry to my mama about Mason. I felt so bad for her, but my brother had always been an asshole. This behavior was nothing new. I wasn't allowed to say that about him, but it didn't change the truth. Giselle thought they were going to get married, start having babies, and be a family together. And then he enlisted. See? Asshole. My older brother, Beau, started working at the restaurant after school and on the weekends, bussing tables and helping in the back. The day he turned 14, he asked Mama for a job, so she gave him one. I started hanging out at the restaurant more, too, riding to work alongside him on our bikes. Daddy said since I would be 12 in a few months, he would let me go with Bo. I think it was more because he didn't want me in the house, hearing them fight all the time. I took all my sadness out on the waves, spending all my free time in the water, being able to relish in the free feeling of being pushed along by nature's force, ride in the perfect waves, and be one with the ocean. There was no feeling in the world that could describe it. The ocean had always been my happy place. I sat on the beach, watching the sunset, not paying attention to anyone around me, enjoying the peacefulness before having to go home to the madness. I glanced over when I felt someone sit beside me.
"Hey, Pippin,"
Creed greeted, grinning from ear to ear, making me instantly smile back. I hadn't seen him in what felt like forever. He looked older and bigger, if that was even possible. "I haven't seen you in a while. You're lucky you always wear the same clothes, or else I wouldn't have even recognized you," I teased. "Do you have any other clothes?" I smirked, unable to help myself, gesturing to his vest. I'd never seen him wearing anything but jeans, a shirt, and that vest. I was starting to think he didn't own any real clothes.
"It's called a cut."
"Yeah. Well, that. I guess it's a good thing. What else would I get you if you didn't wear it anymore?" He chuckled, looking back out toward the water.
"Don't need to get me anything."
"Too late. I have more patches for you. Look." I grabbed my backpack, reaching around until I found them, gesturing for him to put his hand out. "I guess you can put them wherever you put the other ones," I suggested, wanting him to know I noticed they weren't on his cut the last time I saw him. He grabbed them out of my hand, reading the first one out loud.
"Ain't nobody got time for that."
When I saw it, I thought it was perfect. He was always in a rush, telling me to hurry up, that he had places to be, whatever that meant. He read the next one.
"Do I look like a people person?"
Cocking his head to the side, giving me a knowing look. I laughed. I thought that one was pretty self-explanatory. He went on, reciting.
"Here I am. What are your other two wishes?"
Smiling, remembering why I got him that one, he moved on to the next reading.
"Bad example."
Smiling again, knowing it was because he kept telling me he was no good. I finally handed him the last one I kept clutched in my hand. "This one's for your girlfriend, Autumn," I stated as he took in the "In Memory of 9/11, our fallen angels patch. "I'm really sorry, Creed." He nodded, holding back his emotions.
"Thanks for these."
Placing them in his pocket, he grabbed his cigarettes and lit one up, blowing out the smoke to the side of him away from me, resting his elbows on his knees, bowing his head, deep in thought. I resisted the urge to tell him those were bad for him again, feeling as though he was trying to comfort himself the only way he knew how.
"Not gonna see me for a while, Pippin,"
he said out of nowhere, shuffling the sand around with his boot. "Longer than the last time?" I asked, confused.
"Gonna go fight the bad guys,"
he confessed, nodding his head to me. My mouth parted and my stomach dropped. Now I would have two people to worry about. "You're going with Mason?" I breathed out, my heart in my throat, already knowing the answer.
"Got your brother's back. Don't worry about him,"
he whispered, as if reading my mind. "What about you?"
"Been taking care of myself for a long time. Don't need to worry about me either."
I had so much to say. But mostly, I just wanted him to know I'd miss him more than I already had. "Pinky promised me you'll stay safe, that you won't be reckless, and if you get scared, you'll run. You won't try to be a hero. Promise me, soldier," I urged, holding my little finger out in front of his face. Waiting. He hooked his pinky with mine, looking deep into my eyes with a lopsided grin, making my belly flutter like he always did. I wrapped my other arm around my tummy, hoping he wouldn't notice I was trying to calm myself, trying to focus my attention on the roughness of his hand, the scars etched into his skin, noticing how much bigger it was than mine. He could easily swallow it in his whole fist and still have space. I leaned in and kissed our pinkies for good measure. He never said the words, but it didn't matter.